Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Amen, amen. Great. Come on. If you are looking behind me, you see this talented group of teenagers who are ready to bring the word. These are students that I trust, that I've walked with, that I know. And we've asked them to share on who Jesus is to them. And so in a second, each of them are going to have 5 minutes or less to come up here. Can we bring that preaching table for some of them? And they're going to come up here and they're going to share who Jesus is to them. And I want to encourage you. This is their first time preaching here. So at the end, as they're done, maybe just clap for everyone, cheer, stand up, you know, give them a high five later or whatever the case is. But yeah, let's practice. Let me just hear how you cheer. You guys are so loved. All right, Keegan, take it away.
Hi, everyone. My name is Keegan. I'm in grade 12 this year. And I just kind of wanted to share a bit of a testimony of what God's done in my life about how Jesus is my rock. Last weekend, I had the great opportunity to come here to the youth conference It was great, it was impactful, and I just wanted to share a testimony about that. So, since I'm in grade 12 this year, it gets super busy, and recently I've been super stressed getting tests and exams done, and I felt like I wasn't spending as much time with the Lord as I would have liked. And as I was trying to get everything done before the youth conference, I found myself saying, "Sorry, God, I have to study for this test. Sorry, I have to check in with this friend. I gotta do this, I gotta do that." And as I was holding all of these different things to try and get done before the youth conference, I felt myself feeling farther and farther from the Lord. Eventually, I got through my to-do list, but it left me feeling empty and frustrated with myself that I had pushed God so far away. At the youth conference, I felt the Lord's presence, and He told me that He's always been here, that I just need to depend on Him. God also reminded me that He should be at the center of my life, because with God at the center, no matter what comes first, God will be with you. And so He'll help you with your school. He'll help you raising your kids, with your busy job. Whatever you're walking through, He'll be with you. So, Jesus, my rock. A rock, consistently strong, firm, reliable, dependable. I hope you see where I'm going with this. God is our rock. God is consistently strong. He is firm. He is reliable. He is dependable. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Because God is our rock for us to depend on, He never leaves. God loves us so much that He wants us to connect with Him. So my first point is that God never leaves us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." So God never leaves us. When life gets busy, God should be where we go to for help first, for guidance, for help. I know that because for me, between balancing school, extracurriculars, and trying to spend time with the Lord, it can become a lot. And often, God gets pushed away. Through the recent experience that I just shared about being super stressed about school, I can testify the importance of depending on the Lord. This leads to my next point. We need to depend on God. And obviously, life gets busy. God's gracious to us and He understands our heart. But we need to recognize that life becomes way more manageable when we depend on Him and His strength. We need His guidance, His knowledge. With God as our rock, we can rely on Him, depend on Him and His plan for our lives, especially in the uncertainty. When life gets busy, remember God is our rock in whom we take refuge. Whatever you may be walking through, depend on God. Trust that He has a plan for our lives and be confident in the fact that He never leaves. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Keegan. Amazing sermon, by the way.
All right. One sec.
Good morning, APA. My name's Ruben, if you don't know me. I'm the pastor's kid, so like no pressure, but you know, I'm really grateful for this opportunity to speak here this morning. For my message, I'm going to be speaking on how Jesus is my foundation. But like, what is a foundation? Like, Ruben, what are you talking about? The definition of foundation is simply the base on which something stands. It's very simple. In my message, I want to talk about how we need to keep coming back to Jesus, our firm foundation, and how we can do this and why we should do this. I say this because Jesus is the ultimate foundation, someone who we should base our entire lives off. For me, coming home after experiences like New Spay Camp or more recently YG, I felt such a strong connection to the Lord. I was on a spiritual high, if you want to call it that. At each of these events, I was led back to Jesus' firm foundation and put my trust fully in him. Like at YG, where the speaker talked about fighting for our lives in a spiritual war. I came home feeling so full of Jesus, especially after Saturday night, where we had an amazing prayer and worship time. Shout out Keegan, she prayed for me. I felt on fire for Jesus. But even after events like these, if we stray from Jesus and put our trust in other worldly things, it can be hard and we can lose our footing. For example, even a few days after a spiritually reviving event like that, I can find it hard to read the Bible if I don't understand what it's saying or I'm not interested in what it's saying at the moment. With so many distractions in my life, it can be hard to remind myself that the Bible helps me slow down, come closer to Jesus, and grounds me in him. Why do I need to read the Bible? I sometimes find myself asking, annoyed and bored. Silly question, I know. But here's something that shows how strong our faith can become when reading the Bible. At the beginning, when God created the earth, he spoke and it came to be. There was light and dark, the ocean, the sky, everything came from God's word. So the foundation of the earth is God's word, right? And the earth is beautiful. We just have to look around us to see the immeasurable beauty God has put all around us. So if we want to lead beautiful lives, our foundation needs to be in God's word, also known as the Bible. And the Bible points us towards Jesus. In John chapter 1, it said that Jesus is the word made flesh. So ultimately, Jesus is the one we need to keep returning to. And we can do that through the Bible. When we return to the Bible, we're returning to Jesus. Reading the Bible brings us closer to the Messiah and further grounds us in his firm foundation. In Isaiah 41, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This passage is saying that we shouldn't be fearful or sad when we are resting on Jesus' strong foundation, for we know everything is going to be okay with him. We should be assured that God is with us, strengthening and holding us always. All we have to do is return to the Lord and his strong foundation. From this passage, we have a promise from Jesus that if we continue to put our trust in him, he will help us. Because the Lord loves us so deeply, even when we are in his darkest places, we have his grace and the opportunity to reach out to him. So keep coming back. Even just a little bit of effort can cascade into a beautiful reconciliation where we sprint to the open arms of our loving Father. When we return to Jesus, he will help us. If we are sick, lonely, depressed, or even just tired, if we are there with Jesus, Jesus is there with us. So later today, spend some time with Jesus. Just close your eyes, picture his face, and say, "Jesus, I put my trust in you. You are my foundation, and I want to build my life on you." It doesn't have to be like a complex 30-minute hour prayer or anything. You can just say that to him. He never fails. Like a sturdy foundation, our Savior is always supporting and helping us. Build your life on him, and you will see fruit. The answer to your best life is Jesus. He wants you to come to him so he can show you the good life. And that is why Jesus is my foundation.
So when Peter told me that we have to preach on who Jesus is to us, I had a hard choice. There's a lot of things Jesus is to me recently. I've just recently got baptized, and there's just been so many changes in my life that Jesus has made. But I ultimately settled on Jesus is my motivation. But what is motivation? What does it mean to feel motivated? To me, motivation is something that comes and goes. One night, you feel the urge to do 50 push-ups in your room, and the next, you're just scrolling in bed. Where can we find the motivation that sticks? Ecclesiastes 11:4-6 tells us this: "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well." If we idly sit by and wait for the right time, or wait until everything is perfect, we won't reap many, if not all, benefits. The Bible calls us to plant seed, even if we are unsure to succeed. Even if we don't believe it will work, we still need to preach the gospel to that one person we see every day or the person we walk by in the street. There's a quote going around that says this: not every lion that chased the deer caught it, but every lion that caught a deer chased it. Nothing will come from doing nothing, so we need to do something. We need to strive to be better because we are made in God's image, so we need to work to maintain that image. But that's not the only thing we need motivation for. We need motivation to grow both in our faith and as human beings. 1 Corinthians 9:24, 27 says this: do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. That's one of my favorite verses, by the way. Not only are we meant... Oh. Not only are we meant to help others both achieve and grow in their faith, but to grow ourselves. We not only need to bring other soldiers to God's side, but we need to start battling against sin as well. When we were at YG this past weekend, the pastor told us this: we fight against God until we become believers, then we start fighting against our flesh. We need to fight. We need to win against our earthly desires, no matter how hard it is for us. There's a quote I've seen recently: God doesn't give you tests you can't pass, He doesn't give you dreams you can't achieve, and He surely doesn't give you a race you can't win. To me, that seems pretty motivating. Sometimes we feel defeated, and we end up giving into sin. Who will fight our flesh if not us? Proverbs 24:16 says this: for though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. We can't win every fight, so we shouldn't feel the need to give up. Unlike a boxing ring, there's no time that we fall and aren't able to pull ourselves back up and keep fighting. The parable of the 3 men with bags of gold is a prime example of this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Don't worry. For the one who tried and didn't make as much as the one before him still got the same prize, but the one who sat and did nothing with his gold got nothing. So we must do something with the gold God has given us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that we need to honor God with our bodies, as our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you don't feel motivated to do it for yourself, why not do it for God? If I were to summarize what motivation is to me, it's that I'm fighting battles that I myself can't win, and I can't be let down by that fact or be discouraged, because the Almighty Lord of Lords, who created the universe, made you and me, and defeated death, is backing me up in the fight. God is like a boxing coach. He helps you train for fights, but can't always fight for you. Sometimes we don't hear His voice, but in order to understand why, we need to remember that a teacher doesn't talk during a test. But we shouldn't be scared nonetheless, for Romans 8:11 tells us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. So if I were to leave you with anything, it's that you need to keep going, help others, and help yourself. Run as to win the race, fight for God, and don't feel discouraged if something isn't going your way or as you planned it. Continue to fight, because in the end, you'll be rewarded.
One second, guys. Hello, everybody. My name is Joshua, and just to acknowledge it again, happy Mother's Day to everybody and to all the mothers in the room. If it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be here preaching to you guys right now, so I'm very thankful. And today, I'm going to be talking about who Jesus is to me and how He affects not just my life, but the people around me. And so I'm just going to jump right into it. So since everybody's talking about YG, I feel a little left out, so I'm going to talk about my experience at YG. But I actually didn't go to this one here. I went to one in Kelowna 2 years back, and that changed my life. That changed the perspective of how I saw and how I felt and how I prayed about God. And when I went to YG, I was scared. It was my first time ever going to one of these things, and I didn't know what to feel. I was confused, and I was a little bit nervous, right? But I had friends with me. I had Zion. I had Dax. I had many friends with me. But the thing was, I wasn't the type of guy to go out and make new friends. I was the type of guy to have my friends with me and just stay in that bubble. But at YG, there was a night. There was a prayer night where we were praying. And I was really praying that night. I was praying about who I wanted to be and what I wanted to be in the future. And it wasn't just no like normal prayer where you just pray before you go to sleep. It's like, God, thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. It's not like that prayer. It's just, I'm praying hard. I'm praying about what I want. And in that moment, I felt something. I felt something warm, a presence that I never felt before. I felt comfort. I felt welcomed. I felt like I was 10 times stronger than who I was. And in that moment, I felt God. I felt the presence of God. And it wasn't in no big, flashy way. It wasn't in the dramatic entrance. It was in a quiet but comforting way. And there's a verse that I want to talk about. It's Psalms 23, verse 1. And it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And I know that someone or some people are going to say that Psalm 23 is like an old verse, right? But when I was younger, I used to think that people would quote verses from the Bible just to win arguments. That's what my mom did to me a lot. And but hey, I grew up in a good way, you know? But other than that, here's the thing about God showing up in your life. It doesn't stay inside of you, right? It also shows up on how you treat other people. It shows up in your manner, in your perspective, and how you talk to other people. And for me, I became more patient. I became way kinder than I was before. If I'm being honest, I was a pretty rude guy to my mom. But she loves me either way. And I started to listen to my friends, and I started to acknowledge and see how I was acting beforehand. And that really opened my eyes and showed me something that I didn't see before. And to be honest, after that moment, I became more open. I became somebody that I wasn't before that night. And I'm very happy for that. So to answer the question, who God is to me, God is somebody who is kind, peaceful, but you have a choice. And hold on, I brought something to show you guys. So this is the key to my house. So if I lose this, my mom's going to be very angry at me. But it's an example, so it's a good reason, Mom. This key represents your door to God. You have a choice to lock it. You have a choice to close the door. But you also have a choice to open it. Love is not based on just a one-way relationship. Why do you think God put the tree in the garden? He put it there as love. He gave it so it's a choice. It's a choice if you either want to love him or you don't, because that's who God is. He gives you a choice. And for me, I chose to let God in. It was a hard choice. I had to think about it for a while because back then I was scared. I didn't know who I wanted to be in the future. I was confused. I was a kid who just wanted to stay inside, play video games, and go out with his friends. But after that night, I realized that there's way more to life than just to stay inside, right? And there's a choice that you can love God, right? So I want to end my thing in a prayer because I feel like I should. So pray with me. God, thank you, Lord, for giving these people bravery and confidence to speak in front of everybody here. And I'm thankful that I was chosen to preach and speak your word. I pray that as everyone leaves after this, that they will be enlightened and that they will have peace and kindness in their heart. Thank you, Lord, for Mother's Day and all the moms in the room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey guys, what's up? Before I introduce myself, I need to say something. You know our lovely pastor, Pastor Dave, and I want you guys to take me really seriously. So I brought the glasses. Bear with me, guys, bear with me. Anyways, my name is Gabby. You've probably seen me around. If not, you most likely know my mom. You guys know Auntie Rose. You probably know her. I don't know where she is. I think she's sitting in the back. Peter asked me to preach on Mother's Day And to be completely honest, we were in the mall in like lunch rush hour during YG. And I'm just sitting there and Peter comes in like, "You want to preach on Mother's Day?" And I'm like, "Excuse me?" I was so confused. But we're here now. Let's get into this. So the topic I chose was Jesus is my peace. And to start this, I want you to think of something you really like. Could be a food, could be a person. And it's hard to imagine life without it, am I right? But it's the same thing with God. In Philippians 4, 6 to 7, I know, get the jokes out, guys. Forgive me. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God provides assurance that he will bring us peace, and it feels good, right? Children of God are encouraged to pursue unity and plant in what I'd called seeds of peace, or in other words, I think we should all have peace, despite us may not even, well, that's not English, may not even deserving it. Here's another verse. In Numbers 6, 24 to 26, it reads, "The Lord bless you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you to give you peace." Guys, I know my sermon was really short, so bear with me. To close out my sermon, I just want to give you guys like 3 points, like Peter would do. First one, to like pass it on to other people, believers and non-believers alike. The first one is inner stability, to get rid of all the anger, anxiety, the fear, because God died on the cross for all the sin to go away. For the second one, for our relationship with him, Jesus died for us, the debt is paid, the believers are justified, we are free. Lastly, as a mark, like we're all marks of Jesus. You guys realize that, right? He created us to be with one another. His peace surpasses all our understandings, which distinguish us as a child of God from others, and so we can bring others closer. We can pass this peace on to others, non-believers and believers alike, like I said, and by encouraging model peace behavior and worshiping that name that sounds peaceful. Thank you for listening.
Hey guys, my name's Ariana, and I am here to talk about how Jesus is my resting place. All right. So, let's start. Raise your hand if you've ever felt tired. Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, raise your hand if you've ever known a friend who's always tired, or you're always tired. Tends to happen a lot, right? Okay, so when the lovely last weekend rolled around, YG happened. I felt left out. I want to talk about it too. But when the weekend rolls around and we're done with work and school, all we really want to do is rest. And half the time, actually more than half the time, I have a feeling a lot of us tend to come out of it more tired than when we actually finished our week. And I think we can all agree, it sucks. And so if you've ever had what I like to call a certified couch potato day, you'll know that you don't come out of it as well rested as you had hoped. And so I could go over why, like in the sense of science and like lethargy, exhaustion, and oxygen intake, but I'm here to talk about Jesus and where he fits in all of this, as well as our daily cure to everything. Jesus can help us in this regard as well. And so after YG, I'd come out of it so refreshed, despite the fact that I was still very physically tired. To be fair, we stayed up late, we got up early, we worshiped Jesus pretty much the whole time. And so I came out of it feeling very alive, despite my Friday had been very crappy. I thought my laptop was broken, my robotics project was well, and then I forgot my phone at school, and I biked to school, so I did not want to go all the way back. So that was just a pain, and then YG happened, and my whole weekend was just fixed. And so I want to talk about what does give us energy, because usually when we rest, as I said, we don't come out of it as well rested as we want. I know a lot of people tend to consider our energy like a battery. Whenever we do something, we drain it. And whenever we don't do something, we fill it up. But I want to talk about something. Doing nothing won't make you less tired. It won't. And so I want to reimagine the way we think of our batteries. So our batteries drain when we do stuff, just like your phone. So think of your phone. You know how sometimes when it's dying and you don't want it to, you kind of turn it off and pray it doesn't just like die when you're not looking? It's kind of like maybe if I ignore it enough, it'll kind of just not lose more battery. But more often than not, it just starts slowly draining just bit by bit by bit. But we don't expect it to charge, so why do we expect the same of our bodies? Doing nothing isn't just gonna recharge it, it's just gonna make us drain bit by bit by bit. And it's so tiring. And so then I think we all have to ask the question of what does actually recharge our battery? Well, I think Matthew 11:28 answers this. And it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is Jesus' invitation to us. He is the energy to our exhaustion. But the frustrating part isn't usually the who, what, where, when, or even why. Usually it's the how. And so I want to go to Psalm 34:8. I wrote that wrong. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in him." How do we recharge? By actually enjoying his creation. I read a quote once, I think I might have saw it online, that said, "We will never be more alive than when we're witnessing creation or when we're creating ourselves." So we have to enjoy what the Lord has created. This kind of communion, this is enjoying creation, or making art, making music, anything that is recharging ourselves. Whether we're not physically aware of it, it is. And it may not be in an obvious way, but it is a restoration of the soul, maybe not the physical body. But after Waji, yeah, I was still physically tired, but when I woke up the next day, I was pumped. Like, and I bike, yeah, as I said, I biked to school, but I was ready. And so it is a blessing we don't deserve, but that's just what it means to have Jesus as our resting place. We have to enjoy his creation.
Come on, let's make some noise for these amazing speakers. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Praise God. You guys are getting a standing ovation. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, do me a favor, stretch your hand towards them. Father, we thank you for the message that they just shared. I pray that that word will sink so deep into our hearts and their hearts too. I pray, God, that it will return 10 times more. Father, I pray that this moment would be a marker in their life, that they could be bold through you and you alone. I pray for this room, for everyone that just heard that word, that we would allow it to just actually change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the APA podcast. We hope it helps you better follow Jesus in your home, city, and around the world.